Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good. I heard a very strong good morning here. Good. So we are studying about the book of Romans, good news for everyone. And so far we have seen Paul defend two main ideas from Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 3. The first idea is all men are sinners and guilty before God. Yeah, you are not good enough, I'm not good enough, and you never will be good enough to God. So we need, everybody is sinner, we need God to forgive our sins. The second main idea is justification is exclusive work of God through the atoning death of Christ, received exclusively by faith. So here we have two big words, justification and atoning or atonement. Okay, so what does that mean? Justification, it's just God declare you righteous. When you believe in God, God declare you are righteous because you believes in Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. The another word we have here is the word atonement. So the idea I told many times here, it's we can explain in two ways. I have now two ways. It's the first one was when I said that when you believed in Christ, he came under the cross. So when God looked to Yura, he didn't see Yura, but he see the cross, is what Jesus said. And but last month, I don't remember when, I have a friend that is here, but I would not say his name to not feel embarrassed, but he taught me one thing about atonement, and I love it because it helps to illustrate. So here you can see Marcus. Okay, here's Marcus. Okay, and if you look around here, it's nice, everything is white, it's clean, yeah, but you cannot see inside. Inside here, okay.
I can hold it for you.
Okay, it's okay, that's fine. I can speak loud enough. It's okay. It's for recording. Okay, it's fine. Okay, so here's Marcus, okay? It's clean, looks nice, it's a little bit fat here, but it's okay. So what we have here is, you cannot see inside. Inside, we have so many stain for coffee, tea, that usually I drink and instead wash, I put just here. So, but outside, this looks good, okay? So the idea is Marcus came to Christ. And when Marx came to Christ, the atonement means that I was covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So God, in the same way, when God sees me, he sees the justice, the rightness of Jesus Christ. But the stain still here, okay, in Marcus. So I still sinner. I still have a struggle to keep my faith day by day. But the faith is not based on the ability I have to be faithful. My salvation is based on the ability of God to keep me under his promise. Do you understand what I mean? So this is our justification. Good. Thank you very much. What you have here in chapter 4 is Paul proving that justification, this idea, is not only one thing from the New Testament, but the Old Testament always was there. And because the rabbis thought that Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, had been saved, but his obedience, because he obeyed God, so he was saved. He was justified by God. So Paul then used the example of Abraham to show that salvation has always been by grace and not by human effort and merit. So therefore the purpose here in Romans 4 is broaden the concept of justification by faith, prove it's based on the Old Testament. So for proving his argument, Paul gives makes three statements here about Abraham. The first one is Abraham was justified by faith, not by works. So he starts to work to his argument on this first eight verses. The idea here is justification is not a human achievement, but a gift from God. So in this verse, we can see three important points. The first one is justification by works places the glory of salvation in men and not God. So verse 1 and 2. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What Paul is saying here is the idea of justification by works exalts man and gives him the right to boast before God. So this is not true. We cannot say, yeah, I'm very good, so you have to accept me on the heaven because I'm good enough. I'm too good to be here. So this doesn't happen. So he is talk to them about that. The second point here is the justification by works place the base of salvation in human merit, not in the grace of God. Verse 3 to 5. Let's read. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and what's credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justified the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. Paul, he is credited in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, when say Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as a righteousness. What Paul is saying here is that Abraham was justified not by the work, but by faith. Okay, and we remember that what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, when said, "For that is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves; it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Nobody can come to God and say, 'I'm too good, so you have to accept me because I'm very good.' I make a favor to you, God, to make you to accept me in the heaven. This is the idea." Okay, there is no possible. The third point Paul uses here, verse 6 to 8, is justification by works brings condemnation to sin and not the blessing of forgiveness. Verse 6 to 8. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Paul now changed from Abraham to David. Do you remember David? David, the King David, he was a mess. He was a mess. David adulterated with Bathsheba. And worse than that, he planning, how can I kill her husband? So her husband, the Bathsheba husband, was official in his arm, and he made a way to put him in a very dangerous place so he could be murdered. And we don't know how long, but he kept secret this. I don't know how long. Until the day that the prophet Nathan came to him and said, "Yay, you are in trouble." Only after that, he really saw in what he did. And of course, he really repented and came to God. And what is so hard for me as a human being is understand how in the New Testament we have a statement about David. It is, this man was a man according to God's heart. Wow. Hey, David. Why? Grace of God. This is the only way. This is the only way. This is the only way. So David adulterated with Bathsheba. He planned the death of her husband and hid his sin. But David would be condemned if he were judged by his work. But instead of condemning him, God forgave him by grace. So this is why blessed here in the text are not those who are perfect, but those who, despite their sin, receive the forgiveness and rightness that comes from God. So we have people here that, okay, you guys work every day. You go to work, and in the end of month, you receive the money, your salary. That salary is not a gift. You deserve. So what Paul is saying here in the text is, if salvation, if justification is by works, so there is, it's not a gift. You deserve it. So this is not the case. Salvation is a gift of God. It's a present. It's a gift of God. So, first statement here. Abraham was justified by faith, not by works. The second statement. Abraham was justified by faith, not by circumcision. Verse 9, so 12. So, for the Jews, the forgiveness of God was only for those who were circumcised. So this is why Paul developed his argument here about circumcision. So we have 3 points here. The first one is circumcision is not the cause, but a consequence of Abraham's justification. So verse 9, in this blessedness only for the circumcised, is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been said that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. The rabbis thought that Abraham was circumcised first and then justified. And Paul here tried to show that it was different. He was justified before. In the same way, we can say that participate in the sacraments like baptism and communion is not the cause that we were saved. No, we participate in baptism, we are baptized because we are already saved. Okay? The another thing is, we participate in communion, and when you have the Lord's Supper here, it's not to gain anything, but because we express what we have already, we have our salvation. Okay. Second point here about circumcision. Circumcision does not limit justification. Verse 10. Under what circumstance was it credit? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. So what Paul is proving here to the Jews is that if the Abraham was justified before the circumcision, before circumcision, then justification does not depend on circumcision. And in another word, everybody, the Gentiles, can be justified even if they are not circumcised. The third point here about this text is, circumcision is not the basis, but the seal of justification. Verse 11 and 12. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness but might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow his in the footstep of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. The Jews, the real here is the Jews overestimate the value of the circumcision. We can see this in Acts chapter 15, verse 1. It says, certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. So Paul is teaching here that circumcision is a sign of justification, but it's not justification. And what's happened here in Acts 15 is that Gentile was start to believe in Christ. But we have a group of Jews who believe in Christ, but they come to them and say, it's okay, you are Gentile, you can be a follower of Christ, but this is the problem, but you need to be circumcised. You need to follow the rules of the Jewish people, because if not do that, you cannot be a Christian. Okay? And Paul tried to say, no, it's different. They do not need to be circumcised. And I will think about that, you know, because we do the same. We don't ask people to be circumcised, but you do the same. When we try to put something, we add things to the cross. We have so many churches, so many people, even ourselves sometimes. When you try to compare, we try to see if somebody is a Christian or non-Christian. Sometimes seems like that is the cross plus. For some churches, no, to be saved, women has to use big skirts. If woman is not, it's not safe. Or you have to go every Sunday to the church, or you don't do this, you know, the checklist. And for me, it's the same. It's the same. It's the cross plus something. I want to say one thing for you that for me it's very meaningful for me is the idea that my salvation is not based in my ability to be faithful, but in the ability in God who promised to me. This is where my faith is. I know I will do mistakes during the way. And when I accept a Christ, remember the stain still inside, from that day on, the idea is I'm his child. And I try to do everything to please him. But I don't need gain anything. I have already. I have the salvation. I have my relationship with him. From this day on, what I need is how I can enjoy his presence. How can make him happy as my father. I don't need gain anything. I have my salvation. And I know sometimes I still do something bad things, and I come for my father and say, Dad, I'm sorry, I did. It, by the way, I will say one thing here. Don't be offended, okay? Because all the time come to my mind, and my I block because I'm afraid of the English. When you say I screw up, it's bad word in English. It's okay. I don't know. Yeah, I was confused. Every time come that, Dad, I'm sorry, I screw up, because I heard from my kids say that, but I'm not sure if it's offended. So if you're offended, I'm sorry, God. Okay. But anyway, so the point is, Dad, I did wrong, I'm sorry. And he will forgive you. And he will embrace you. But you don't need gain anything. You don't need prove anything. He knows that you are bad. He knows. We don't need we didn't prove he knows, and we know that. Okay? So this idea is very important. So two statements. First statement, Abraham was justified by faith, not by work. Second, Abraham was justified by faith, not by circumcision. And the third, the last, Abraham was justified by faith, not by law. Verse 13 to 17. So, John Stott says that Paul used in this text three arguments to prove that Abraham was not justified by the law. The first, the argument of history. Verse 13. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Abraham could not be justified by the law because the law came only 430 years later. So if you can see this in Galatians chapter 3, 16, 17, we see here, the promise were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. What I mean is this. The law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. So the second here we have the argument of language. Verse 14 and 15. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing. And the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. So Paul uses here terms like law, promise, faith, anger, transgression, and grace in this verse. But law and promise cannot walk together. Because if salvation is when I follow the law, I don't need promise. This is the point. I don't need God promise me anything if I can gain by my works. This is what Paul is saying. If the inheritance depends on the law, then the promise would not be necessary. And Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 18. Look, for if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God, in His grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. The third and last argument here is the argument of theology. Verse 16 and 17. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it's written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Salvation is not only for the circumcised Jews, but for the uncircumcised Gentiles as well. And the gospel of grace makes everyone equals before God. Doesn't matter if you're Jews, if you're a Gentile, everybody needs come to God through Jesus Christ. And Galatians 3:28 talk about that. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we saw today, just to summarize, we saw today that Paul used the life of Abraham to prove that justification is not only one thing for the New Testament. It's already there in Old Testament too. And to prove that, he compares justification with three themes: work, circumcision, and law. If you can summarize the whole thing today in 3 points, we can say, first, in both the Old Testament and New Testament, justification is by faith. And I said here before, in the Old Testament, salvation was believing in the Messiah who will come. Look for the future. And New Testament is salvation is believing in the Messiah who already came. But the way is the same, is faith in Jesus Christ. The same God who justified Abraham in the past is the God who justified today. The same God who justified Abraham in the past is the same God who justified you today. So if you still not still confused, still without know how, I want to say one thing for you. God is able to justify you right now. What you need is believe in Jesus Christ, that the sacrifice that he did on the cross pay. And the moment that you say, God, I believe in Jesus, and I receive him as my Savior and my Lord, I need him to come close to you. It's only through him. When you think and you declare that in your heart and with your mouth, and you say that, the righteousness of Christ cover you and you'll be saved. The third and last one is, in both the Old Testament and New Testament, the base of justification is the death and resurrection in Christ. In my prayer that I'm a Christian for 22, 23 years. And I need to remember that every day. It's important. Justification is by faith. It's not about you. It's about God who promised. Our life after our salvation, it's a life that is based to please our Father. God calls us for 2 things. This is the purpose of life. Is worship him and enjoy his presence. Relationship with God. And as a relationship with our Father, sometimes you will, do wrong. But it's okay. Ask forgiveness, come to him, and everything will be okay. Until the day that we will be all in the heaven. In that point, sin will not be there. So you'll be holy as Jesus. Because you will receive the same body that Jesus received. The resurrection body. No sin, no shame, no pain. Everything. But until there, we need fight for our sanctification, depend on God, in God's grace. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you very much for the opportunity we have to serve you, to have you with our God. Thank you because the justification do not depend on us, depend on you, Lord. You pay the price. In Jesus' name. Amen.